The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 5, please, if you will, tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to speak to you tonight on finding the will of God. Finding the will of God. You know, so many times a person will say, this is the will of God. And really, just to be honest, a lot of times they don't know what they're talking about. So we're going to talk tonight about finding the will of God. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 14, and may we stand together for the reading of God's word. In verse 14 and so on, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, wherefore he saith, awake thou, it says, awake thou that sleepest. He says, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now watch that. So Christ is going to, once we have awakened from our sleep, he's going to give us light. The Bible says, see then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So he wants us to understand the will of the Lord. He does not want us to be unwise concerning the will of the Lord. Now, Father, bless, we pray. Thank you for tonight. Bless our gathering, we pray, and speak to our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do in our lives tonight. And Lord, we thank you for what you'll do tonight through this Bible message. In Jesus' name, please bless our time, and amen. Be seated, if you will. You know, many times we see different people, and I looked out among the congregation this morning, and I saw people that was hurting physically, but yet still in church. I saw people that had worked all night, but yet they were still in church. I watched some people get up from their pews, their place of seating, maybe in the balcony as well, but I noticed in the pews where some people got up, and honestly, you could tell they had a hard time. And just getting up and getting their bodies in motion, walking out the door, you could tell that they were stiff. You could tell that sitting for a time was hurting them. But yet, they came to church. I believe that people come to church because they love God. I believe people come to church because they love the Bible. I believe people come to church because they love the teaching. Some people come to church because they love the preacher, the preaching. Some people come to church because they love the teacher, the one that's doing the teaching. Some people come to church because they love friends. They have friends around them. You heard several give testimony tonight that kind of feels like family here. And for some, this is the only family that they have. And so they love church and they structure their lives centered around the church. But I believe that we could all come together tonight and say that the Bible is that which is given to us whereby we know all truth. We understand tonight that because of the Bible, you and I can be able to make choices that are good choices, right choices, and spiritual choices. It was Martin Luther of the 1500s that said this. He said, the Bible is alive, it speaks to me, it has feet, it runs after me, it has hands, it lays hold of me. Robert E. Lee said this. He said, in all the perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength. Abraham Lincoln said this. All things desirable to men are contained in the holy pages of the Bible. Somebody said this by the name of Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said this about the Bible. Nobody ever outgrows Scripture. It seems to widen and deepen with each passing year. D.L. Moody said this. He said, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Theodore Roosevelt said this. He said, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than any college education could ever begin to offer. We have testimony after testimony about the riches of God's Word. And sometimes I think that sometimes we as God's people don't understand the value that we have in the Bible. A matter of fact, sometimes I think that we lay the Bible aside and then we pick up what we believe we ought to do, even if it doesn't line up with the Bible. The Bible is God's guidebook. The Bible is the Christian's GPS. The Bible, if you will, please, gives you instruction both how to live and how to die. The Bible is the best place that you can turn in dealing with relationship growth. The Bible is the best place that you can turn in learning how to rear your children. The Bible is the very best place you can turn when you want to learn about finances and the structuring of your home or even a corporation. The Bible is the best place that you can turn to be able to learn the ins and the outs of God's will for your individual life and for the life of your family. But yet so many times we look at God's Word only when we're in trouble. We don't look at God's Word as being that which is a directional map in the small areas as well as the big areas. But we look at God's Word only when we're in trouble and we have need of His help. Most of that is because we have a will. And the will that we have sometimes will supersede and sometimes will be that which is the primary state of our focus. When it should not be our will that is our focus, it ought to be God's will. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, listen to it now, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we see that God has wills for our life. God does not have just a will for your life. I think some people have this erroneous idea that God only has one will for your life, and that's it. And most of the time, to my surprise, a person that believes that God only has one will for their life normally are people that never do that one will. But I also find out that people that understand and have a thorough knowledge of the wills of God in their life, and they're busy doing the wills of God in their life, they have no trouble defining if there is a specific will that God would have for their lives. See, the Bible is that which teaches us the what of the will of God. The Holy Spirit, after we fulfill the what of the will of God, is the one that will guide us into the wheres of the will of God. You will never be able to understand the wheres of the will of God until you have completely, unconditionally surrendered and are practicing on a regular basis the what's of the will of God that is found in the contents of God's Word. So you and I ought to focus our attention on what is God saying in His Word. What is it that God wants me to do about this? Does the Bible have something to say about this? Does the Bible have a direction about this? Is there something in God's Word that will help me to have a more definitive idea as to the very nature that God would lead me in a certain direction? You can only find that in the will of God. As the Bible speaks over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, where it says, and be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Bible says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord have Christ with Belial? The Bible says, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So God says that you and I have to understand that there are some things that God is for, stay with me, and there are some things that God himself is against. Now we always like it when God is for something, especially if God is for something that we're for. We really like that. What we don't like is when God's will now becomes contrary to our will. Because sometimes here's what we do is we try to bring God down to our thinking. We try to bring God down to our understanding. We try to bring God down to where we are living and expect God to accept us for who we are. when as the Christian, you and I are supposed to take our living up to God to be able to honor and glorify Him.
Amen.
So I am not supposed to take my will and do my will only. I am supposed to do God's will. Now that might mean an exchange. It might mean that while I'm trying to do my will, I cannot, Brother Jonathan, help me with that illustration, if you will. And it might be that as I'm trying to do my will, that I am not able to do God's will. If this was the will of God, and I represented the Lord Jesus tonight, and Brother Jonathan, turn where they can see what you have in your hand, and He has that which is His will in His own life. By the way, God said He's not willing that any should perish, that's God's will, but that all should come to repentance. So it is God's will tonight that people come to know Christ as Savior. We understand that. That's the will of God. But can I tell you, as you go out soul winning and as you go out door knocking, as you give somebody a gospel tract, you will find out that not everybody wants to do God's will. You will find out there's people that simply just do not want to obey the gospel. Now, wait a minute. Here's what we understand. Man has his own will. God created you with a free volitional will. You have the right to choose tonight. You can choose to put God first place in your life. You can choose tonight to do God's will. Or you can choose tonight not to do God's will. You can choose tonight to do some of God's will. And you can choose tonight not to do some of God's will. You can choose tonight to do 50% of God's will and 50% of your will. You can choose tonight to do God's will some of the time and then God's will not to do some of the time. You can choose that tonight. Now, what God wants is God wants us to be able to do all of His will all of the time. God wants to have complete control of you. God wants you to surrender your life to Him. Now, if that means that surrendering your life means that the call of God on your life is you to be a dentist, then so be it. If that means the call of God on your life means that you're supposed to be a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer, a mechanic, electrician, a plumber, so be it. If God's will tonight is for you to be a missionary, so be it. If God's will for you tonight is to be that which is a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, then so be it. If it's teaching in a Christian school, so be it. You should not be the one that decides what God's will is for your life tonight. You ought to be totally surrendered to God and allow God to have free choice and free guidance in your life so that you can fulfill the will of God. I believe that there's some preachers across the land, and I know I've got preachers that listen to this podcast all the time, but and I'm not saying this about anyone in mind, but I'm saying that I think there's some preachers in that have missed the will of God. They're pastoring churches outside of the will of God because they thought it would be something nice to be able to do. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that a person can do something. Okay, watch this. God says not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God commands us to be soul winners. God commands us to go out and give the word. God commands us to live separated. But I'm talking about a more definitive direction of God's will. And here's what happens. As long as I've got my will, as long as you've got your will, and you're holding on to your will, and all of a sudden now, the preacher gets up, and the preacher targets you. Yea, the Holy Spirit of God begins to work in your life, and the Holy Spirit of God says, this is what I want you to do. This is God's will for your life. And when you sit there, and you hold on to your will, and that's all you're going to do, watch this now, and it does doesn't matter how much God tries to get in your life, it's just not going to happen. Because you're so tightly holding on to your will. You may even try to say, God, I'll bargain with you. Here's what, you let me do this, God, and then I'll do this. And so you try to hold on to your will and also to catch God's will. And it doesn't happen that way. You have to be totally surrendered to that which is God's will. Your will needs to be out of the way. Your will needs to be put on a shelf. Your will needs to be shot. You have to decide tonight that God, whatever you want, God, if you want me to be a missionary, God, if you want me as a man to be a preacher, God, if you want me to do this, that, or the other, God, I'm putting my will totally into your hands, and you direct me, and you help me. Now, wait a minute. God is not going to direct you away from the Word of God. Young boy comes to me and says, "Preacher, I believe that God wants me to marry so-and-so. Would you pray with me? And would you give me insight? Would you be willing to marry me?" And God said that it's not his will that two come together, one being saved and the other being lost. He says, you're not supposed to yoke up with an unbeliever. That's called unequally yoked. So for a guy to say, "I saw this girl, and preacher, she's beautiful. And oh, I tell you what, if I could just have her in my life, she's just absolutely dynamite." But if she is not saved, you have no business dating her. Because whoever you date, you will like. Whoever you like, you will love. Whoever you love, you will marry. Now, I'm saying tonight, listen to me. So when it comes to God's word, not agreeing with your direction, what you're supposed to do when God throws you his will is you're supposed to drop your will happily and catch God's will for your life. Amen. Just as simple as that. All to Jesus I surrender all ought to be your theme song. See, if you live a life where you're completely surrendered to God, you're not going to have any problem with a rule. You're not going to have any problem with any type of preaching whatsoever. The preacher could get up and preach as hard as he wanted to preach, and you would not get mad. You know why? Because all of a sudden God says, "I've got a will for your life." You drop your will and do his. God says, "Okay, you did great. I got a will for your life." And that's the way it ought to be all the time. It's just dropping your will and doing God's will. Dropping your will and doing God's will. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this, if you will. Take your Bible and go to, if you will, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. Many years ago, I heard Dr. Jack Hiles, 18 plus years ago now, preach a message, and he converted the actual scripture I'll read in a moment ago to a song. It says, "In all thy ways," Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, "in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So God says this. God says here, I want you to understand, you have a part, stay with me, and I have a part. He said, your part is in all of your ways, acknowledge me. That is your part. He said, and as in, let's do it again, and as in, you acknowledge me in all of my ways, you acknowledge me in all that I am to you, you acknowledge me in every area of your life, in all the ways, all the endeavors, all the walking, all of the direction, all of the things that you're doing. He said, you have one responsibility, acknowledge me. Just one responsibility, acknowledge me. Hey, what would it be like tomorrow if you got up and the very first thing you ever did was acknowledge God? What if you got in the car and said, "Dear God, I'm going to drive to work in a few minutes, and I just yield myself to you." Hey, what if all of a sudden, as you yielded yourself to God, God laid it on your heart to take a different route, and you missed an accident? Wouldn't you be glad that you yielded yourself to God? Well, what would our life be like tomorrow if we got up and said, "God, I want to please you with my attitude today. I yield myself to you." What would you dress like tomorrow if you got up and said, "God, I don't want to be a stumbling block. I want to be a right testimony, a glow for you, a testimony. And God, I yield myself to you in every avenue of life." What would your life be like? If God had complete control of you with the movies you watch, with the music you listen to, you say, but preacher, you don't understand. You know, come on, preacher. You know, if I yield myself to God, he's going to make me live like I'm completely a Christian. Well, isn't he supposed to help you to live like you're completely a Christian? So he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And the Bible says, and he, watch it now, shall direct your paths. All right? So in the Word of God, we learn the what of the will of God. As I do the what of the will of God, he directs my paths. And if I just keep doing the what of the will of God, then he directs my paths. So I get up in the morning and say, God, show me what you would have me to do. Show me the direction that you would have me to go. God, help me to make wise choices about my friends, about my clothes, about my music, about my job, about where I'm supposed to live, where I'm supposed to go to college, about this car I'm going to buy, about this neighborhood I'm going to live in, about anything in life. You acknowledge God. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And when we get to an understanding where we can take and acknowledge God in all those areas, can I tell you, God will begin to work, and you won't try to have to get up in the morning saying, I wonder where the will of God is. You'll know where the will of God is. Why? Because you're busy doing the what of the will of God. Amen. I don't try and get you out soul winning so that we can say, oh, we had 300 out soul winning. I'm trying to get you out soul winning so that you will acknowledge God in your life. I'm not trying to get you to read your Bible so I can get up in a pulpit someplace in America and say, I want you to know that I have a church, you know, that's running X amount of numbers, and 75% of them read their Bible through last year. I want you to get in your Bible because that's a way for you to acknowledge God. I want you to get your kids in Sunday school, not so we can say we had X amount of people in Sunday school. I want you to get them in Sunday school for your children's sake so that they can acknowledge God. Because only when they begin to acknowledge God in their life, and by the way, watch this. If they don't do that, if you don't teach your children that God needs to be first, then you're going to have somebody that grows up being rebellious. They're going to want to do what they want to do. And it's going to be a struggle between you and your kid. You're going to say, hey, drop your will. Get right with God. Hey, surrender all. And let's stop being a hard head. Hey, come on, obey. And as long as they're tightly holding on to their will and not letting their will go. See, the problem is we have unsurrendered people. It's not a matter of a rule. It's a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of your parents tonight. It's a matter of your heart. It's not a matter of the teacher said this, the leader said this. No, it's a matter of the heart. The Bible says where your treasure is, present tense, there will your heart be also. So if you have a parent that loves you enough that says, hey, embrace the will of God, what they're doing is they're trying to get you to put your treasure in a certain place. Why? Because they know that's the best place for your heart. Amen. That's the most important place for your heart. They're trying to help you to understand it's a heart decision. Brother Howes used to sing it this way, and he said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. By the way, you have to acknowledge him. You have to acknowledge him. If you acknowledged him, would you study harder? If you acknowledged him, would you show up late and say that you were on time? If you acknowledged him, would you cheat on your taxes? If you acknowledged him, would you bash somebody on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or any other type of social media? If you really were acknowledging him, if you acknowledged him, would you be a part of a gossip session? If you acknowledged him, would you go soul winning? If you acknowledged him, would you read your Bible? Hey, if you acknowledged him, would you come to church more faithful? If you acknowledge him, I'm saying, listen, we're supposed to acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And so as I take and I acknowledge him, here's what he's going to do. He's going to take me and he's going to guide me in a certain area to help me. Hey, listen, there's no reason for a teenager to be rebellious. There's no reason for a college young person to be rebellious. There is no reason whatsoever for an individual that's a wife or a husband to be rebellious against the Lord God. All he wants is his best for you. Curtis Hudson said this. He said, good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good is your better and your better is your best. What was he saying? He's saying there is that which is the will of God. There is that which is an acceptable will of God. There is that which is a better will of God. And by the way, your life is full of choices. Come on. Let's go hiking together. Depending on what type of shoe you wear is depending on how long you'll stay with me. It's not because you're masculine. You have calf muscles that are bulging outside of the regular human calf muscles. No, you know what it is? It's your shoes. You have good hiking shoes on. You have good climbing shoes on. Hey, you can go to distance. Let's climb the side of Mount Everest tonight together. And you wear your sandals. Your flip-flops. It's not going to work. I'm going to be looking back and I'm going to say, where are you, 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 you? And you're going to say, down here, here, here. And I'm going to say, why are you there, there, there? I fell, fell, fell. You know why? Simply because you just didn't have the right gear. You know what God wants to do? God wants to give you the right gear. Watch this, if you will. The Bible says over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I. That's what God says. Then will I. Okay, can I tell you, there has to be a time, we acknowledge, let me give you three statements and I'm done. Statement number one, don't try to find the right path. Don't try to find the right path. Well, I wonder if I should go over here. Well, I wonder if I should go over here. Well, I wonder if I should go over here. No, the Bible says, listen to it very carefully. The Bible says that you and I will only be happy when we do the will of God. As you and I will take and we decide that we're going to do the will of God. The what of the will of God? The Bible says, if you know these things in the book of John, happy are ye if ye do them. So what I need to do is I need to barrel down, I need to get in my Bible, and I need to find out, God, what do you want? God, show me what you want. God, what do you want me to do? And as I learn what God wants me to do, and I take up residence of obeying God in the doing of it, then I become happy, as the Bible says. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, wait a minute, watch this. All right, so Brother Jonathan, I'm using you a lot tonight. It's okay because you are helping me with the ball stuff. Okay, give me a number. Here, come. Here we go. All right. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So he knows to obey his parents. He's a 16-year-old kid. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So parents tell him to do this, and he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't drop his will. All right? So parent says to do this, and he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't drop his will. He's not going to be happy. Because it says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Let me tell you why you're not happy living in the home that you're living in is because you have not surrendered totally to the will of God through your parents. That's And until you surrender to the will of God through your parents, you will never be happy. Well, I'll be happy if I go join the military. I don't like the rules at home, so I'm moving out. I'm going to go join the military. They're going to have rules. Well, I don't like the rules at McDonald's. I quit. They're not fair to me. I've always liked Burger King more anyway. You go down and start to work at Burger King. It won't be long. I don't like the rules at Burger King. I'm going to go work at Chick-fil-A. At least they're not open on Sunday. For you know it, you don't like Chick-fil-A. Well, I'm going to start my own restaurant, be my own boss. Well, good luck with that. Now, look, I'm saying this. I'm saying we have to understand that a Bible principle is this, that if you know these things, you're not going to be happy until you do them. One kid came to me at camp many years ago, said, I'm tired of it, I'm tired of it, I'm sick and tired of it, I'm tired of it. Tell the frustration in his voice, I'm tired of it. My parents are always telling me, make the bed. I'm tired of it. So tell me, what can I do to get them off my back? So let me think. That's hard. I got it. Make the bed. He said, you're on their side. I said, no, it just makes sense. You make the bed, they're not going to climb your case anymore. Is that right? He said, well, yeah. You don't want them climbing your case anymore. Is that right? Well, yeah. Then make the bed. But isn't that the way we are? Preacher says, he says, tithe. Come on, the Bible says tithe. I mean, don't you get it yet? I mean, I'm trying to help you financially. We just don't. Bible says obey your parents. Hey, you're better that way. Obey your parents. Hey, the Bible says, look, live holy. Live pure, decent, respect, forgive. Tithe. Live separated. How about soul winning? Look, how about cleaning your room? Isn't that the way we are? Isn't that the way we are? Come on. You know, you have a godly husband. Thank God for it. Have a godly wife? How about thanking God for her? You got decent kids that's trying to please you and please God? So well, they don't have it figured out yet. They're still kids. Maybe that's why you're the parent. Maybe to guide them into the area of understanding. All right, watch this. I'm done. Here it is. Don't try to find the path. Just do what God said. Amen. Statement number two. Don't plan your life. Don't plan your life. Young person comes to you and says, this is what I'm going to do with my life. Here's my immediate question to them. Do you know that is the will of God? Well, well, if you don't know it's the will of God, then why are you going to do it?
Good. You're right.
Find out what the will of God is by doing the what of the will of God, and God will show you the where. Statement number one, I said don't try to find the path. Statement number two, don't plan your life. Statement number three, and I'm done. Here it is. Don't spend time looking for the where when you're not busy doing all of the what's. You know, the Bible is full of what's. And if you get busy doing the what's, eventually God will give you the privilege of knowing the where. But we have to settle the matter. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. One more time. Here we go. I'm done. Here it is. Here it is. Teenager. I'll pick on teenagers tonight. Teenagers. You cannot disobey your parents and be right with God because your parents stand in the stead of God for you in your life. Okay, teenager. Mom, dad says, clean your room. Didn't mean to wake you up. And you just let it go. You know what you ought to do? You ought to be eager. Because as you eagerly obey the Lord through your parents, God sees you're eager to please him. Come on. Isn't it true? Watch this. Samuel was a young man. Last illustration. Samuel was a young man laying in the other room. Eli was laying in the other room. God called three times. Samuel, on that third time, went in to Eli as he'd done two times prior, and he said, you called me. About that time, Eli's kind of waking up a little bit, and he said, it wasn't I. If you get a call again, it's the Lord. Say, here am I. When he called the fourth time, Samuel said, here am I. Now, wait a minute. I'll show you a lesson. He was used to obeying. And because he was used to obeying, it was easy for him to obey God because he was used to obeying his guardian at that time, the one that was placed over his watchful care at that time. And it ought to be this easy. Youth conference comes, obeying God. Camp comes, obeying God. Mom and dad says this, obeying God. Mom and dad says, don't do that, obeying God. Mom and dad says, go over there, obeying God. Mom and dad says, stop, obeying God. Mom and dad says, do that, obeying God. To the degree that you're obeying them, and God sees that. And it ought to be that easy as a church member. Should it not? I can't believe preacher preached on that. It bothered me. Shouldn't. Not if it's Bible. It ought to be this easy. Word of God came, you obeyed. 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 Paul said, as he prayed, I prayed that God would have free course through me. There should be no stoppage. No stoppage. And we allow God to work in and through our life. Hey, you want to see God bring a church revival? It's got to be this way. You want to see God work in your life? It's got to be this way. We are so transparent with God. We are so wanting to do the will of God. There's no me in this. There's no about me anywhere. It doesn't matter, God. You tell me what to do. You tell me this. You tell me that. You tell me the other. You tell me that way. You tell me no. You tell me yes. You tell me to go over there. You tell. And it needs to be that way in your life. Now, here's the thing. You can tell when you're not right with God, when all of a sudden the man of God preaches something, it's Bible, and all of a sudden you're there. Man of God preaches something, and it's and the will of God is just rolling off. It's just rolling off. Mom and dad says, hey, it's time to go to bed. Come on. Really? Now? Here's what you've done. That's what you've done. Mom and dad says, hey, make the room now. Go ahead and make your room. Get your room made. Just rolls off. Ready? Bus captain says, hey, today we really need to do, I really need your help. Can you really help with this? Can you really? All right, how surrendered are you? How surrendered are you? You see, I mean, it's that way all through our lives. You see where it gets hard? You see where it becomes difficult? It's when all of a sudden God speaks and we say no, and God speaks and we say no, and God speaks and we say no, and God's trying to put it in and put it in and put it in and trying to stuff it in and trying to stuff it in and just trying to, and we're just saying no, 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 no. You know what happens? We harden our necks. Then we come to church and say, I don't like that church. Boy, that church bothers me. You heard testimonies a few minutes ago. Hey, I love the church because friendly people love me, feel accepted. You know, no doubt there's been some people sitting in this room where they heard somebody say that, and in their heart they said, yeah, not really. They only knew what I knew. You know what that is? That's hard. Should never be that way. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's exactly what he wants to do in our lives.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.